Well, listeners, we've made it. By the way, this is your host, Daisha. We've made it to the end of Boktober, which means that I will never again have to say the words Boktoberfest.
Boktoberfest.
And neither will he. However, I am going to be sad to tell Bach goodbye because it's been a lot of fun learning about him. And this that you're about to hear may be one of the most fun episodes in this Boktoberfest series. Dang it, I said it again.
Boktoberfest.
Really? Anyway, we went out on location to record this episode at the Moore School of Music Organ Recital Hall with the inimitable Keith Weber. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen, a two-story organ. I'm going to post some pictures and some media of the organ on our website right at houstonpublicmedia.org/classroom. So if you want to see some fun photos, just look for the article for this show on that website. Also, speaking of the internets, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and to rate and review us because you're such a great person, and that's what you want to do. Anyway, let's get to the spooky. Boo! My name is Daisha Clay. I'm the audio librarian here at Classical 91.7. While I'm a real librarian, I have a deep, dark
secret.
I know very little about classical music. I grew up listening to rock, and I know something about jazz. But when it comes to classical, but I really want to learn. So, every week on this show, a classical music expert will give me a piece of classical music they think I should know, and then we'll discuss it. Come learn with me in the classical classroom. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a creepy classical classroom episode. I am here with Mr. Mick Creeperson, Creepy Keith Weber, who at this point really kind of needs no introduction on the classical classroom, but I'll go ahead. He's the artistic director of Grace Song Incorporated. He is a choral and orchestral instructor and vocal coach. He's a multi-instrumentalist, and today we're sitting here in this big, amazing room.
Oh, can you believe it?
It's so cool. It's the Organ Recital Hall at the Moore School of Music on the University of Houston campus, and we're sitting in front of this organ that is like two stories tall. Like,
it's fantastic. It's the Mighty Fun Baccarat. And it's a beautiful instrument, actually.
Man, it's so cool. It looks like a wall with some pipes coming out of it, and it's got this cabinet that you open up, and then inside of that, you've got all of these crazy wooden pedals. You've got like three tiers of keyboards, a bunch of knobby things.
Well, it's a neo-Baroque organ in the tradition. It's freestanding, and it's also mechanical action, which means that every key is connected to a thing that's connected to another thing that pulls the valve on the chest that lets the air up to make the pipe speak. So it's actually incredibly time-tested and time-honored, this kind of a... And it's also wonderfully musical. It's the perfect instrument for our adventures today.
Yes, which are going to be all about one of the creepiest pieces of music of all time.
Oh, yes.
Bach's Toccata and Fugue in D minor.
That's right. Well, yeah, that's one of its names.
Okay, what's its other name?
It fooled enough people to get into the catalog of Bach's works, so it has a BWV number. 565.
BWV was his catalog.
It means the
number.
Bach Werke Verzeichnis. It's the catalog of Bach's works. You know, he's an important enough composer that musicologists have gone through and assigned a separate number to each and every piece that he ever wrote.
Kind of like Mozart.
Right.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Okay.
Like the Kirchhoff numbers.
Yeah.
That's the Mozart catalog. And so it has a BWV number, which means that it's Bach certainly wrote this down, but it's unlikely that Bach wrote it at all. It's most likely an arrangement. I have this on good authority. I spoke to the good Dr. Durst, Matthew Durst, the musicologist here at the U of H, and he was telling me it's most likely an Italian violin piece.
Well, now, how did this go down? How did this get conflated with Bach's music, and why do we think of it as Bach, this famous
did,
Bach piece?
Bach did a lot of copying of other people's stuff that he had
heard. You mean like copying down?
Right.
Okay.
Copying down that he had either seen or heard. And while he was copying it down, he would arrange it. There's several examples of this, and many examples from the Italian rep.
Okay.
And in fact, some famous Baroque violinists have tried to take this back a step and play it as a solo violin piece, which works actually pretty well.
Interesting.
And after he told me this, it's been a revelation to go back to the piece. And, you know, I'd be willing to bet that if you took some excerpts from the fugue, you know, stuff that sounds like this. And if you put a multiple choice answers after that, I bet you, and one of the answers was Vivaldi, I bet 90% of the people would choose Vivaldi. They would think it's that kind of formulaic stuff that moves from one key center to the next, to the next, to the next, and kind of bats back and forth. It's very Italian.
So basically, to sum up what you've said, one of Bach's most famous pieces and famously creepy pieces of music came to be because Bach was having funsies copying down and rearranging somebody else's music.
Right, and he turned it, he turned it into a legitimate organ piece.
Okay.
Along the way, you know, while getting the ideas that he had come into contact with somehow or another, whether he saw the piece as a manuscript or whether he heard it somehow or another, it's of course none of that is known.
Wow!
But what we have is this pretty sensational and interesting organ piece.
You've got to play the open. I feel like the lights in here are all wrong because they're all sort of, you know, warm and 70s and like it needs to, you need to be lit from below so we could get the full effect.
Well, we can get a flashlight. But yeah, this opening material, this could very easily have just been solo violin. And then, but it makes a really great organ piece. But because of the key, and because of this chord progression, which is what we call in the business a fully diminished seventh chord on top of another fully diminished seventh. You can take a major chord and you can make it minor, and then if you lower the fifth, it's diminished.
Well, what does it mean to diminish a chord? I know what it means to diminish a person.
Well, it's just changing the chord to a different mode, we call it. So you can do major, minor, diminished. And if you add a seventh to that, there's a fully diminished seventh chord, which is inherently frightening. If I were to play you all pieces...
Yeah, it sounds like creepy carnival music.
It would completely creep you out,
When you played that chord, I got little goosey bumps on my arms.
A lot, in the same way that you can play Penelope lying on the railroad tracks with just minor chords. And just go up a half step.
What makes that? Okay, and I noticed, too, that when you were playing this, you employed the use of your
feet. Of the pedal, right. Well,
what's
going
on there?
The, pedals are a whole section of the organ. This organ is actually four separate organs that play together.
Oh.
Well, the one is the great organ, which is the one right in the middle. One is the positive, which is on top of it, at the very top. The swell, this business, which has the mechanical
this
swell
is
shades.
The, that's, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's how you can...
Okay, I have it. To describe this. There's yeah. this big pedal that's right in the middle of the right. foot pedals where Keith right. is moving it up and down, and right. these flaps are opening and closing in the wall.
It's the simplest of direct mechanical linkages, and it has... It has the desired effect. And then these big towers on either side.
Yeah. With the pipes going up, big pipes.
Right. That's yeah. the pedal division. And
okay.
so this whole keyboard at the bottom, which is operated with your feet,
yeah.
is a whole separate division.
Huh.
Right. It has its own identity. It's got really great, loud and rich. Louder.
So it's interesting to me. I'm looking at this room. I'm looking at this gigantic instrument that's taking up right. Like a full back wall and two stories of room. And I'm thinking, on the one hand, this room, this instrument could be a lovely place to have like some sort of sacred ritual. On the other hand,
sure.
you can make some seriously creepy noises and,
oh, no,
and
yeah.
put on like a really creepy play in here.
This is primarily built as an organ recital hall. This is a place for students and teachers to prepare their programs and to present them.
Is there something about the bigness of it maybe that sort of lends to that sense of
yeah, it
just
is.
Awesomeness?
It's very intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah, like yeah. just really in physical
right.
size,
yeah.
but the sound that it's able to put out because of its bigness
yeah.
too
right.
is really something. So tell me more about the creepy angle since we're doing this Halloween
thing.
Well,
because thing. Not only is it fully diminished seventh chords, as I said, but there's also lots of chromatic movement, like lots of sliding around, and there's also a lot of kind of back and forth business. Which is your basic Italian string sewing machine music. Which, in a particular context like this, is very kind of exciting and engaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's yeah. a lot of yeah. motion going on. You're on the bottom keyboard and the top keyboard
you know,
at the
and
same
he's
time.
He's turned whatever this was, he's turned it into a legit North German organ preludium, which has a free section
uh-huh.
where it just kind of moves at its own behest.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a whole fugue, which has it's a really interesting and long-winded subject.
Well, and let's re-explain yeah. what a fugue is to listeners for those who haven't
well,
heard before.
Well, it's where one voice, it's called a subject.
Uh-huh.
And everything that you hear at the beginning... When the second voice comes in,
uh-huh.
everything up until the entry of that second voice is considered the subject.
Okay.
And then everything under it is a counter subject. And there can be any number of counter subjects
okay.
to a subject.
All right.
So, and then it's a rather long-winded fugue with a lot of episodes and a lot of things. And then the toccata comes back.
Now, what is a toccata?
A toccata is a fast-moving, exciting, rapid piece that was wide-ranging, that makes use of the whole keyboard. It makes use of a lot of facility of the player.
Does it have a particular... Oh, I see. It's kind of like a...
You can see it's black notes.
Oh, I see that on the
right.
page.
It has,
yeah,
it has
of
all
black
these
notes.
Fast notes. And it,
okay.
It's very free. And then my favorite section of the whole thing, this whole ending of it is just fantastic. You know, it just takes off. So, as is Bach's habit, when he encounters a style that's a particularly clear flavor, he tends to, when in his arrangements of them, kind of outdo them.
You mean he does them over and over again?
That's more Italian than any Italian thing has ever been.
Yeah.
He really purified it.
Yeah. Kind of boiled it down to its most essential elements.
Right. It's a terrific piece.
There's
a reason that it's so popular. Not only is it instantly recognizable, but it's just a strong. It's just a strong piece.
What makes it? Two questions.
Yeah.
What makes it sound funereal? What is that?
Oh, and then, you know what? That is a lot of attachment from the public consciousness. You know, they've been playing this piece at Halloween in haunted houses now for 100 years or however long there's been commercial Halloween. I'm not sure. That would be an interesting thing to find out.
Fun fact, we did go and look this up, and the first time that this piece was linked to the spooky may have been in 1931 in the opening credits of the movie Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It was also spookified in the 1962 film Phantom of the Opera when the Phantom plays it on a dusty organ underground. Spooky.
But we have attached the haunted house sensibility every time we hear this piece. I don't think it's necessarily when you hear this piece.
Yeah.
Is it either spooky or necessarily, evil in any way? We have slathered onto it cultural associations. And so we kind of can't escape those. We hear the piece and we think, monster.
Well, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
But
I think that the reason that you think that is because it's the other way around. It's not necessarily because of the piece.
I am totally with this idea. But also, there was somebody who heard this song initially and they were like, this is going to be great at our haunted house.
That's right. Well, this business, it's like, woo! It's like, oh, what is that? And then the echo of it, you know. It captures your attention, and you think, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's very arresting,
And then this fully diminished upon fully diminished chord, it's a couple of them pile on top of each other, just kind of goes, oh. You know, and that is the harmonic language of spookiness.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost archetypically creepy, and I think you're right. A lot of that has to
come from the cultural. The purest example of a gathering fully diminished seventh chord that I know of.
Okay.
And so it has that clarity and power.
Well, since this is a short, I'm going to cease asking you questions now, and I think we should just go out on some music. So play your favorite bits. Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Pick up from the big spooky chord. Thank you. And right. You know, the nope, people the people who've heard this as an organ piece would have heard it in an acoustic like this. It would have been rolling around the room.
Really? So I'm getting like the real experience.
And while
here.
That may not have scared them out of their sins, it would at least have fired their imaginations.
Perfect note to end on. All right, everybody, that does it for this episode of Classical Classroom. For more classroom, go to houstonpublicmedia.org/classroom. Follow us on Twitter and Tumblr. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Remember to rate us and review us, or I'm not at liberty to say what might befall you if you don't. Email me at dclay@houstonpublicmedia.org. Thanks today to audio producer Todd, all a Twitter Hulslander, for making us sound spooky. Thanks to program director Sinjin Flynn for scaring small children. Thanks to editor and hanger of microphones, Mark DiClaudio, for his piercing, empty, black void eyes. Thanks to Keith Weber for scaring the bejesus out of us today. Thanks to the Moore School of Music for having us. And thanks to Dr. Matthew Durst for the information in this episode. Thanks to me for saying words. Most of all, thanks to you for listening. Happy Halloween! And then that's where you play the Thriller music. Mm-hmm.